Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Well, can you give Jesus the praise wherever you are? Just say thank you. We don't take these miracles for granted. Whatever you're doing in our midst, we know it is to your glory. And this stirs our hearts to believe in you for more. And we trust you for more miracles, more signs, more wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Repeat after me. Say, Holy Ghost, I'm ready for all you have for me in this service. Say, Father, I'm ready for all you have for me in this service. Say, my mind is alert. Say, my heart is receptive. Say, truth prevails here. Say, there's no room for error. Say, I'm edified and you are glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I have something brief to share with you as a parting gift. Then we give God some thanks and we dance and we go home. Amen. Amen. Today is the word of our fast. 55. Are we still? Hey, Jesus. We are still fasting, so 5 more days to 60 days. We've raised an altar, and I'm sure that next year the devil is going to hear it. We've raised an altar, so when you see the results, don't say you have the same Holy Ghost with these people. Why are you not seeing yours? We raised an altar. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I want you to not play with the last 5 days. I want you to remember all God has done. I want you to give him thanks in the last 5 days. And I want you to intensify much more focusing on the results you want to see in the coming year. Amen? We've prayed about it and we're going to see results in the name of Jesus. All right, so as a parting gift, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. Well, are you ready? All right, everybody, read together. 1, 2, go. Come on, we're going to take that again. You know me now. That won't go. Are you ready now? Are you ready now? All right, read with me. 1, 2, go. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and the hallelujah. The disciples came to meet Jesus and they asked him, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? And in verse 4, what does the Bible say? Everybody read together, I want to go. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you would hear of wars and of rumors. See that you're not troubled, But the end is not yet. Hallelujah. And that's my question to you, first of all, before we go on. The same question that the disciples asked Jesus. I want to ask you, why has Jesus not returned? Have you ever asked that question before? How many of you even want him to return? Some of you are lying. Some of you are saying. Some people that are not married, that say, I beg, Jesus, don't care. When I marry, I beg. There are some things that we are yet to do. Lord, just delay your coming. Just give me 2 more years. Then you can come. Ten, come. Amen. So, when will he come? And have you ever thought about that? Since you were young, you've been hearing Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. But he's not here. And the people in generations before us as well heard that Jesus is coming. So it gets to a point you begin to say, are they lying to us? Are they just trying to use this to keep us to act well? Because if it was, it not comes. And then some of you that are, nerds, and you know, maybe you follow different stuff. You read NASA articles and stuff. NASA is telling you that in another something 100 years, the world will be destroyed. So you're like, will the world be destroyed before Jesus comes? Will Jesus come before? You know what I'm saying? You know, one time they said there's acid rain. Everybody will die, you know? Did you hear that gist? Oh, yes. That rain beats me. I'm okay. Amen? Then one time they said there's one ray of the sun that will come. It will fry everybody. Hey! Switch off your phone by 2. Amen. But the question is, why has Jesus not returned? And the disciples are asking him, and they are saying, Lord, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus says, don't let anyone deceive you. He said, many will come in my name. So if you were to follow the scriptures verbatim, you'll be looking for all these signs to say, let me see. It says, many will come in my name and say, I'm the Christ. Are they not many? There's one Jesus in... Actually, when we were younger, apparently, there was someone called Jesu Oyingbo. Yes. If you read the story of that man, it's a Jesus. Charlatan is the word. That's what he is. What? He was so wealthy. They lived in a compound. And that's the sign of a cult. That's what you call church cults. When any religious organization that turns you away from your family and your people and isolates you, it's not God. It's a cult. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a cult. The highest that a church will do for you is to help you see how to chase your destiny, which sometimes might be in opposition to sometimes some families that are not godly, but never to isolate you to a point where they become your enemies. You see what I'm trying to say? It was there no one that was exposed? Something rich women, I don't know the name of the club, that all of the rich aunties of Lagos are in. And then they will literally tell ladies to leave their families. You know, so you will see your sister on the road and you'll be looking for her for 3 years. And she'll say, no, this is my new family. That's not church. That's not church. Amen? Because yes, in Christ, you found a family. Amen? And that tie, yes, is sometimes even actually stronger than even biological families. Amen? Because whatever relation you have with your earthly family will end on this earth, but the relationship you have with those in Christ will last eternity. But that does not mean that God wants you to be against your biological family. No. Amen? Even Jesus honored his biological family until the point when they did not believe in him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So at the point when it was clear that there was unbelief, he will now say, okay, who are my brothers? These are the ones. You see what I'm trying to say? But this is not a teaching to isolate you from your family, because if you have the love of Christ and you have the Holy Ghost, there's a way you will not behave. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So sometimes this is the mark of a cult. They isolate you, keep you in specific places, and in some way brainwash you through a herd mentality. Are you listening to me? So he says, some will say, you know, that they are Jesus, and they will come. They'll say they are the Christ, and they will deceive many. And I don't think that one that is right now in, I don't know where he is, Tanzania or Ghana. I think he's in Ghana. I don't think he will be the last Jesus that will come. There will be more. Amen? Amen? Don't be surprised if he's your secondary school mate. You know, say he finally got the vision. He was telling people in school, he did not answer him. Now it has been revealed. Amen? He also says that you will hear of rumors of war. But he says, see that you are not troubled. Don't you hear of rumors of war? Are you not hearing? And he's saying that these are the signs that the end is near. How many rumors of war have you heard? You know, I actually heard that there's something called dead hand. It's a nuclear technology that ensures that if Russia is ever attacked, the rest of you will not live to survive it. So if everybody in Russia dies, that nuclear bomb will still blow up in retaliation. Are you hearing me? There are 3 countries that are currently leading, you know, the nuclear efforts. U.S., China, Russia. So it's like we're planning that we can destroy you, but we'll not use it. But mess up. You try it. Here's what I'm trying to say. So you are hearing of rumors of war. And then the most recent you are hearing now is that Trump said, I'm coming for you. If you don't put yourself in order, and then I see people are getting ready. Hey. You know, Tinubu has said that you people are the reserve. So if army is not working, they shift you. Thank God some of us we've left the we are not enlisted. Amen. But you see, and I want to say something in regard to this. Listen, pray for your nation, wherever you are. And I know some of you are streaming from Canada. Some of you are streaming from the States. Pray for your nation. One thing the Lord taught me very early was we used to complain a lot about Canada at some point. And the Lord told me, you cannot be here as an apostle to this place and speak down on the nation. You can't. If you are going to save people for my kingdom, it means you will have brothers and sisters here. And so the success of this nation will be the success of God's work. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Because God's people are here. And I want you also to learn to speak well of your nation. I will do my best to. I'll do my best in the name of Jesus to speak well of our great nation. Amen. But even for those of you watching, pray for your nation. Because it's the will of God that your leaders will lead and will live a peaceable life. You know, the Bible says that, right? It says pray for leaders and those in authority. Because by their decisions, you would either be in war or you'll be at peace. By their decisions, you either be free to practice your faith or be hiding to practice your faith. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. So they don't even have to always be Christians for you to pray for them. Amen? Uh-huh. This is very important. And I think it's a good time to also talk about some of these things because the news is trying to spew a propaganda that Christians are not being killed. And I'm saying this so that you are not confused. For anyone who might be confused, because sometimes when information flies around, you know, some of us don't know what to believe. Amen? And for those of you that are watching online as well, it's a good time to pray for Nigeria. Let's not forget the mass killing of believers in Owo. That happened 5th of June, 2022. A mass shooting killed everybody in the Catholic Church, over 40 people, including children. Amen? Let's not forget that in April as well, gunmen who are believed to be herdsmen killed over 40 people as well. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? 2 months later, over 100 people in Yelewata, what's the name of the place? That happened as well. So now, the ideology that has been thrown around is, well, Christians are not being killed. It's a general massacre, if Muslims are being killed and stuff like that. Now, let's ask ourselves the honest question here. Who are the perpetrators of this act? Are they not Islamic extremists? So if they kill Muslims because they think that the Muslims are heretics to their Islam faith, does it not mean they still target Christians too? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So why are we deceiving ourselves? So to say that, oh, Muslims are also being killed, meaning there's no genocide, are we playing here? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the reality is that, yes, we know that Muslims are also being killed. But that does not remove the fact that there's religious targeted attacks. Even the Muslims that are being killed is religious targeted because they believe that you've accepted too many Christians in your midst. What are we saying? You've accepted too many things that they believe are against Islam. And I'm saying this so that you clear your mind to see that there is a need for you to pray. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. About Trump, I don't know what to say. And I won't say much. Maybe if you talk to me personally, I'll tell you my mind. But what concerns me is that your disposition as the church to such ideas is this. But in the same way, hearing of such possible ideas of war should show you that this is also a sign. Because Jesus says it's something to watch out for. There will be rumors of war. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? There would be. It says nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. It says all these are the beginnings of sorrow. It says, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by the nations for my name's sake. Isn't that already happening? Well, more will happen. Amen? It says, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. And then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And it says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Please, are you learning something today?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. All right, let's read together. One, two, go. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, Amen. So you can be about to plan your wedding. And Jesus will just start. You just need to chop a pam, pam, pam. Hey, Jesus. Amen. But he's trying to say that the same way before the flood, people were going about life naturally, and the flood came, is the same way that you won't know Jesus will come. And why is he making that comparison? Because the flood was the judgment of the world, and the coming of Jesus would also mark the judgment of the world. Amen? Amen. But he's saying something. He says, no one knows, not even the angels. Meaning that the Bible does not say that any prophet can predict that it's September 23. Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Because now, they say it was September 23. And when it not happened, they say God uses Gregorian calendar. You know, hear that part. They say, oh, the calendar that we're using has changed. You know, it's the Gregorian calendar. So it's 13 days ahead. That's past now. Amen? Now, here's the problem. When I saw that news, I knew for sure that very soon, there'll be lots of believers who will have to go sober soon. And maybe many of them might begin to hate God. But that's the problem. When you don't stand on the word, you can be easily deceived. You have to know the word. The Bible says it clearly, that it's not even the angels. So why do you think a prophet is special enough to know? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Not even the angel. So no one will be able to say on this, hey, everybody pack your load on this day. And do you know that people cause people to die on disregard in the name of God? Are you hearing me? There are many church cults that use the Bible and still prophesy a particular date that the end, and we've not learned our lessons. Can I preach today?
Yes, sir.
It's not the first time that this has happened. It's not. And it won't be the last. So when will believers be wise and read their Bible for once? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? No one knows. He says, you know, I spoke to God. God told me. Angel Michael, PA of God. Now, hear me. And this is the problem. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time it has happened. There are different cults over the years that you will see. They will tell them some people drank poison and all killed themselves on the same day.
Yes.
Some have burned themselves alive for the same reason. Some have stood at the top of, you know, a building and they were told that as you are falling down, you will be taken up. It's true. It's true. Are you getting what I'm trying to say, somebody? So these are things that frequently happen, all in the name of when is Jesus coming? When are we going to go? And what I wanted to say that I caught is that, you know, and I stopped saying is that even the Seventh-day Adventists, they've predicted once that Jesus was coming and he failed. You know, the Bible doesn't say anyone will predict. It says no one knows. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? But what do we at least know? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Are you in 2 Peter?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 3 verse 10. Everybody read together. One, two, go. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. What does he say next, everybody? Twelve, what does it say? So what is he saying? That this earth that we're in will not last forever. It will be destroyed. But he's saying that the only thing we know is that for sure it will be destroyed. And so what must we do? Because we know that Jesus is coming, we must handle our conduct like it's happening tomorrow. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we must, the way to effectively wait, first of all, is to handle your conduct rightly, to live in a holy and godly way as though you are expecting it. So are you expecting it?
Yes.
Are you having holy and proper conduct? So the first thing is that at least you know that he's coming, and so because of that, your conduct must be proper. Don't live like people who are not expecting the Messiah to come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Have you ever done something bad and you just remember that Jesus is coming? Jesus, please don't come yet. Let me quickly repent. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he's saying, at least, first of all, for the fact that you know that he's coming, let your conduct be right. Live a godly and holy life. And that's my first charge to you today. Live as though Jesus is coming tomorrow in your conduct, in your holiness, in how you handle your business, in how you pray, in how you serve the Lord. Live as though Jesus was coming tomorrow. So we must live in a holy and godly manner. Don't live your life thinking you still have a lot of time. No. Live in a way that makes you believe that if it comes tomorrow, I'm ready. If it takes 1,000 years, I'm still ready. Are you listening to me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5. All right, read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So what is he saying? He's saying that it comes like a thief in the night. He says that they might think everything is fine 1 minute, but the next minute, and he compares it to labor pain, which many of you have never felt. But it has been described to you. So you know what I'm talking about, at least to an extent. Amen? So he says that it comes suddenly. But now here is where we miss it. We all think this is talking about us. But it is not. Verse 4, what does it say? Read together, everybody wants to go. But you, brethren, are not. For them, it comes like a thief in the night. It says, for you are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Meaning it's not going to sneak up on you. You know it's coming. Yeah. You are ready for it every day. Yeah. I listen to what I'm trying to say, somebody. You are ready for it every day. It will not overtake you like a thief. Because you are prepared. So for this reason, he goes ahead to say that you should be sober. And soberness is the attitude you have when you have an exam tomorrow. What do? You take marble and put in your shoe. You put your leg in water. Some of you do two-factor authentication. One is not working. You drink coffee, even though you know that if they catch you in Babcock, you are going home. Is it not caffeine? It's not allowed. So some of you will do two-factor. You do coffee, then you do coke. Hard drug. You enter the exam or you cannot write. It was happened to you too. Oh my God. I took coffee one night before an exam. I was awake and I read, but the next day, Jesus. I was in the exam hall and my brain was not processing. So I put it away. I slept. I woke up. Then I wrote the exam. That's the only way to escape. If you don't sleep, nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? So you have to be sober with hope, with faith. There's an attitude when you have a news. For example, if they were to tell you that there's a German right now at the airport and is giving $1 million to every single person who can prove their citizenship as Nigerian, what will you do? Now, all of you are thinking of where you put your passport, Abi. Is it on the shelf? I don't have. You know what I'm saying? You are thinking, and if you are maybe a good person, you are thinking of the friend you will tell. Okay, family you tell. Now, all of the efforts that came to your mind when I said that constitute of the soberness that you should take because of the news. Amen. And then what if it was bad news? What if they said a flood was coming, God forbid? Whatever action you have to take is an action of soberness. The people you have to gather, the things you have to pick up. Some of you won't pick up your Bible, but you pick up your PS5. In case on the mountain, there's a place to plug it. Amen. He says in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober. So knowing this and knowing that it will not come to you like a thief in the night, you have to be sober. Knowing that it's a day of judgment for those who don't know means you have to be sober. If it has not dawned on you, one of the things that dawns on me, one of the questions I get from a lot of people that makes me know that they really understand what is at stake is when people come to me and they say, sir, I really want to ask you a question. What will happen to my grammar? That's when I know that you really get it. Because you don't think this is a joke. You are sober and you understand that if anybody who does not believe is going to hell, no matter how nice they wear. Has it ever dawned on you? So you can't really say you love a person if you don't care about their eternal destination. Unless you don't believe that judgment is coming. It's one of the two. Are you listening to me, somebody? Unless you don't believe that judgment is coming. Hallelujah. Let's look at another text. James chapter 5, verse... Are you learning something today?
Yes.
James chapter 5 and verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Are you ready? All right, everybody, read together. One, two, go. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord. Ooh. KJV says that the husbandman waited for the fruit of the earth. So this is so powerful. He's saying, you patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. Then he makes a comparison with how you wait. And he compares it to how God is waiting. You get what I'm saying, somebody? He compares it. Because whenever you see the analogy of a farmer waiting for a harvest, it's usually about God. Amen?
Amen.
So he makes a comparison. And he says, see how the farmer waits. He's giving you a hint as to why Jesus has not come. He says, see that the farmer is waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. He's waiting for the year of the latter, the early and the latter rain. Oh my God, are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So it gives you a sense. So we can say that one reason why Jesus has not come is that he's waiting for the harvest of the earth.
Yes,
he wants more people saved. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He wants to populate the kingdom with more souls. He wants to give more people the opportunity to come. Amen.
Amen.
Because his plan was to fill the earth with people in the first place. Are you getting this? That was his plan. So now he wants to give enough people, even the ones that are not yet born, he wants to give them a chance to come and choose him. Amen.
Amen.
And even the ones that are here, he wants to give an opportunity for more of them to hear the gospel. That's why. At least one major reason why. And he says something critical. He says that he's waiting for the early and the latter rain. Have you ever studied that before? Do you know what the early and the latter rain is? It's actually an agricultural metaphor he's using here. The early rain comes at the beginning of the agricultural year. What does it do? It softens the hard ground. Are you see what I'm saying? Softens the dry summer soil. Allows the farmer to plow the land. Allows them to sow the seed. The seed needs moisture to germinate. So it's like planting a seed in the dry season. If you don't artificially wet it, it will struggle. But if you plant in the right season, because the early rain comes, so if you plant, mostly farmers plant in the year, in the period of the early rain, because then they don't need to stress themselves in watering. It will rain frequently. Amen? It will have enough moisture to grow. And then that of the latter year rain is talking about the final rain that comes before the harvest that gives the seed or the fruit enough chance to be big enough, to be proper. And he's saying that God He's waiting for those two things to happen. He's waiting for the precious. And he knows that in the year when there is the rain, it will happen. So how would there be an early and latter rain for believers, for souls? Well, the only way they will be watered, the only way they will grow is through your ministry. Did you hear what I said? Is how? It's through your ministry. So think about this. God is waiting for the fruit of the earth. The rain for the fruits to happen will not happen by magic. It will happen by the preaching of the gospel. So everything we do to make the harvest ready is rain for the harvest. Did you hear what I said? So the Bible is saying, be patient. Jesus will return, but God wants to save as many as possible. Meaning that even in the coming of Jesus, you have a part to play. Did you hear what I said? Just like the majority of the things that God allows man to have a part to play, in this harvest, you have a part to play. And so, in God receiving the precious fruit of the earth, you also have a part to play. Because it's through you. Hey, he wants to fill the earth through you. Are you getting what I'm saying? He wants you to take heaven on earth to them. He wants you to help reconcile the world to him. He wants you to be ambassadors of his kingdom. In Luke 10, 2, it says, therefore he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. It says, pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers for his harvest. Does God have laborers in this place? Yes, sir. That he will send forth laborers. Listen, we cannot make him come back any sooner, but while we wait, there's much work to be done. Our participation in making that return happen is that we know that he wants more people to be saved, and so we must play our part. The move of God, you see, is not usually just a sovereign act. God is so sovereign that he allows man to participate in many ways. So God's move and his return has been set in motion already, but he wants partners. He wants to recruit you and you and you and you and you for the work that he's doing. He wants to recruit you. And so like everything that God is doing on this earth, he wants to work with you. It was John Wesley who said, it is as if God is limited by our prayer. And that's an impossible thing to say because God cannot be limited. But sometimes it just looks as if God is limited by our prayer. And it looks like he can't do anything for humanity unless someone asks him. And it's not because of a limitation of God. It is because God has chosen to act in the order where, because he has given man jurisdiction of the earth and he has given man free will, he will not be rude to superimpose on the free will he gave you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He has given free will. And so, in many cases, you will need to invite God into the situation. Amen? Amen. So, you know, God, one time in Ezekiel, he said, I am looking for a watchman. I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap. So, listen, in God's mercy, God wants to save people, but he knows that for things to be done right, someone has to stand in the gap. So God begins to look for people that he begins to look for intercessors. People. So now, listen, God wants to save people. And he's looking and he's like, I've given free will. So these people will not choose me randomly. Even with Cornelius, the angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius. He didn't. And so in the protocol of things, the things that God is doing on the earth, he does through men. Men are God's method on the earth. So God is saying, by my mercy, I want to save them. But the only way I can save them is to have intercessors. Can I raise intercessors? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Intercessors both in prayer and through their lives, like we told you yesterday. People that can raise altars and give sacrifices. That can say, for my generation. For my generation, I will stand in the gap. For my generation, God can raise me. I can be a catalyst of the move of God in my generation. That's the whole goal while this church exists. That's the whole goal. That was the vision that started this church. To be catalysts of the move of God in our generation. And not just that I'm a catalyst, but that every single one of you here is a catalyst of the move of God. That wherever you go, you speed up the move of God in that locality. God wants to raise intercessors, people to stand in the gap, people that can say, like Noah, I return the best of what I have to you so I can receive. Ay, give me you, every other thing can wait. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? People like Abraham that can say, you gave me the child, but listen, I will give it back to you at your word. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? That's been the whole goal of this meeting, to raise you as intercessors, to raise you as mountains, to take heaven to them. Are you listening to me, somebody? And so if this move of God is going to happen, it will happen with the partnership of God and man. Listen to me, no revival will happen unless men are ready. So, revivals can be systematic. You want to see a revival in your city? If, how many now? Maybe 70, 80 people here, 90 or more people here. If every single one of you decide that you are going to raise an altar to emphasize the truth of the gospel of Jesus in your neighborhood, there will be a revival. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't understand what I don't think you get what I'm saying. If even 20 of you say, I'm not going to take it easy, I want to emphasize the gospel, let everyone in my neighborhood know the gospel. If the 20 of you stand, you raise altars of prayer, and you open the hand of God in that community. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And you go out preaching the gospel to them, a revival will happen. Why? Because man decided that enough is enough. Because in that place of an altar, angels ascend and descend. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? I told you everything will continue normally until a man says enough is enough. Amen? Until a man says enough is enough. Until a man can say, I want to raise an altar in this place. Things must change. Amen? Amen. You say power must change hands. Amen? Amen? Listen, the devil can be so prominent in your locality and you say, today it ends. You raise an altar 1 a.m. You pray, even if it's 30 minutes, an hour. Every night, one day something will shift. Have you heard of people who pray long and nothing happened? The testimony you always hear is that after they prayed long, there's always a shift. There's always a shift. Are you listening to me? So, whatever we are stepping into, people have been praying about for a long time and they've seen their part in it and they are doing it. But you have to see your part in it as well and do it. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? Yes, while you are here thinking nothing is happening on the earth, people are taking souls in their numbers or doing crusades. Don't get carried away because no one around you is doing it. Let God raise you for your generation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let God raise you for your generation. Let him raise you for the people around you. Are you learning something today? Yes, so what should you do in what God is doing? What is your role? And I've taught you some of this before, but to re-emphasize it to you. Number one, prayer. We must pray like we have never prayed before in this coming year. Are you listening to me, Catalyst? Yes, Jesus. Can I say that again? We must pray like we've never prayed before. If you pray like you've never prayed before, you'll see results you've never seen before. Yes, are you listening to me? Yes, so, we must pray. We must pray. And I know this is a praying church, but we can pray more. Yes, prayer no de kilo. Prayer no de kilo. Are you listening to me? Yes, You will not die from prayer. You will pray. And you'll be better. There are some results that I've given you this analogy before in a camp meeting before. That prayer is like a battering ram. Have you ever heard of battering rams before? That when people are going for war, when they are about to invade a castle or a fortified place, the only way to break down that fortified place is to come with something called a battering ram. Different people hold it at the edge like a rod, a long rod, heavy one. Then they start hitting the door of the castle, hitting it one way or the other. You might think is having no effect, but if they continue like that, Jesus, I just remember the prophecy. Before I traveled, someone told me, she came to me and she prophesied. She said, Pastor Mike, water seemingly cannot break a rock. But she said, water at the right pressure, intensity, or consistency will break a rock. The canyons you see, do you know the Grand Canyons?
Yes,
they are actually made by frequent water and air movements. Hey! Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
frequent water and air movements. So if you continue to pour water in a place, it will take time, but something will begin to happen on the floor. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Something will begin to happen. That place will continue to get weak. Continue to get weak. Continue to get weak. Until one day, it passes through. But listen, at the right pressure. Have you watched those videos? Okay. Have you watched those videos where they put water at a high pressure and they cut rock?
Yes.
Cut wood. So, battering rams of prayer is that when you want to take something, you don't just pray casual prayer. No. You pray prayers at the right intensity, at the right consistency, at the right pressure, and you break down any fortress.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
This is a picture of what happens when believers pray. So all you are receiving and what you want to take back to your house to be able to be a mountain there, the way to do that is by prayer. Oh, we must pray. By prayer, we can give God full authority on a land. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And not because God cannot sometimes superimpose, but when a man stands in the gap, God works freely. Why? Again, God has given man jurisdiction on this earth. Men are God's method on this earth. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? So if a man prays, there will be results. There will be what? Results. So in your cell groups, you must pray. And this goes for potential cell group leaders. You know, all of you, one way or the other, should even become cell group leaders. If you have a neighborhood, you have people you want to preach to, even if you can't start a cell group, you can start a family group. We will give you the material. You will start discipling people. But the way you will get results is that you must pray. If you pray long enough, even the hardest heart will be softened. Have you tried to preach to people and they don't listen to you before? Pray and go back. You must practice this more this year. I don't want to hear they are not listening to me. Listen, people who told me they are not listening to me this year, I only pitied you and did not tell you my mind. So let me call you and say, what are the results you are having in Ejigbo? And you say, they are not listening to me. Are you praying? If you pray and you tell me, Pastor, I pray cumulative of this amount of hours every week and they are not still listening, they will know what we need to do. But you have not prayed and you say they are not listening. Hey, you are not working. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Am I talking to Catalyst here?
Yes, sir.
I don't want people that will say you are pressuring me too much. Am I pressuring too much? Okay, good. So, prayer. Say the siege of prayer. The siege of prayer. Hallelujah. You see a simple test in Jericho. It's not even. See, anything you do constantly for a long time is an altar, even if it's worship. Just show up. This is also a protocol for divine encounters. A protocol for angelic ministration. Show up every time to a particular place. God will meet you there. God will meet you there. It might not be the first week, but the second week, God will meet you there. Encounters will happen. Don't just watch war room. Have a war room. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody?
Yes,
number two, power. What did I say?
Power.
The only time you flow in the supernatural should not be only in camp meeting. Is for every day. Don't go to evangelism powerless. There are some things that too much talk. Some of you talk too much sometimes. Amen? Too much talk will not solve. Power will solve. Amen? After they negotiated with Pharaoh, you know, they brought snake. See, Pharaoh is even more stubborn than many people in this world. Some people said snake, they would have answered you. You know what I'm saying? Pharaoh, now the tenth one. But here's the thing you realize in Pharaoh's story. God knew that it's the taking of his firstborn that will make him change. He was giving him time to repent. Are you getting what I'm saying? God knows what to make everybody. And if you ask him, he can tell you, ask her, how is her daughter? Or he can tell you, pray for her son. Amen?
Amen.
So sometimes, some people, you know, look at the lady who gave her testimony here. Do you want to convince her that this is not a good church? There are some things nobody can take from you because you've experienced it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
some things, you can say you don't believe in miracles, but if you come in proximity in a place where it happens and you experience it in your life, I don't care what you believe, but me, I believe that miracles are real. That's how you sound when you've experienced it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And the reason God gave miracles, some of you don't know, it's not for show. It's for the gospel. That when they see, they will know. So power is supposed to be a witness. I don't have time to read everything to you. But power is supposed to be a witness. A witness that your message is real. Amen? Amen. Listen. Everybody you heal will still die one day. Yeah. Even if you raise somebody back to life, it will still die one day. Meaning miracles are never supposed to replace the natural order of things. Amen.
Amen.
But they show that God is merciful and God loves us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. But the ultimate goal in the end is to point them to the real message that can keep them alive and make them never die again. Salvation. There's only one miracle that will keep you alive forever. It's the miracle of a changed heart. It's salvation. If you don't believe the gospel, if you die, you remain dead. But if you believe the gospel, if you die, there is assurance that you will come back to life like Jesus came back to life. And you will never die again. So no matter the miracle I do for you, if I don't give you the gospel, I've just wasted your time. Miracles must point to the message of Christ. But the other hand, it shows compassion of the God that we serve. Because he loves us and he wants us to be healed. He wants us to be better. Amen? He wants us in good health. Are you learning something today?
Yes,
cast your net for the evangelism or for the salvation of souls. Cast your nets for the salvation of souls. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal to God. But he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So what is going on? The Bible tells you about Jesus, who being in the form of God, saw equality with God as nothing to boast about. And for the sake of souls, he became a man. The Bible says he became a servant. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, do you know, the comparison between God being a man is worse than you being a maggot. Do you know what it means for a God to become a man? Even if we're not talking about the Most High God, let's just even talk Greek mythology or Marvel. Hulk is what? Demigod. Thor. Thor even has made gods look very... We don't rate gods like that, for, you know. But I get what I'm saying. But him, like someone like Thor can just... He doesn't even use his full strength. Actually, if you remember when he first came down from Asgard, he was like... So that's a good way for you to understand. And that's not even close. So imagine yourself becoming a maggot. And you're like, disgusting, right? Now imagine a God himself becoming a man. But for the sake of souls, he did it. So he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If God could do that because of souls, how far will you go for souls? How far will you go for souls? Now, Usher insulted you. I say, it's because I'm coming to your church now. I will never go to church again. Or you went out to preach. One person just spoke to you anyhow. You're like, if not for God, Nko, don't go and preach there. You were preaching one day, they splash water on you. You say, my white, me. Who are you, Seth? I say, me. But I get what I'm saying. How far have you got? What have you lost for souls? What have you lost for souls? If Jesus lost his life for you, what have you lost for souls? So he says, let this mind be in you,
So maybe they were even flogging Jesus. Jesus was receiving it. Ah, they were beating him. His body was everything. He was, ah. Then he now carried the cross again. After that suffering, someone has spat on him. He was like, you know Thanos? Like, he was like, you know those old Iyada, they were like, hey. You know, if those women do like this, you just go and beg. You say, mommy, please. Please. Because you know that. So this has to just look at them and say, if this thing does do, pa. But why did he not do like this? For the joy that was set before him. Meaning that while he looked ahead, he saw you. And he said, because of Tolu, I will endure this. Jesus. And they started to mock him. Look at him, King of the Jews. Save yourself if you can. Do you know it would have taken all the self-control in the world for him to be able to save himself and still stay? You now, self-control for that. You no get. You are preaching. Someone is arguing with you. You are like, you are not serious. You are trying to save your soul. The kingdom of heaven is very violent. And the violent will take it by force. You are already taking text out of context. Just... But you get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. No sacrifice you will make for souls will be too much. Yes, sir. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
None. Listen, if you do these three things properly in 2026, 1,000 souls to each of us will not just be an imagination. How many souls do you think you can reach for Jesus? I think some of you are thinking small about yourself. What impact can you have? What impact can you have if you just do these things that I said? I told you about Papa Kenneth Hagin. Opened Ephesians, the Pauline prayers. He will pray it every opportunity he has, that the eyes of my understanding. What if you took the text about your reality? And you read it to yourself. You read it to your every morning when you start, you read it to yourself. I've heard of people in this ministry that do boss evangelism. You are busy arguing if it's effective or not, but they are doing it. At least souls are hearing. Which one are you doing? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? So the question is this: what extreme levels are you willing to go for the sake of souls? If you pray right and you go out with power. You know the problem? Some of you did the two. You don't do the last one. You pray. There's power, but you don't preach. How do you want to express the power? How do you want your prayer to be effective? Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Don't get too busy to the point that you can't do what God has called you to do. Some of you live like your purpose is to be... Oh, that's a mechanic again, sorry. You live like your purpose is your career. Your purpose is a tool to fulfilling your career. Sorry. I will not say the wrong thing. Wash. Your career is a tool for fulfilling your purpose. If you were to meet God and you were to tell him that, God, the one reason for why you created me and for why I was made, I did it. And God said, oh, what did you do? You know, I was teaching in that school, you know. Oh, I was a. That cannot be the one sole reason for why God created you. It has to be more. It has to be something that is relevant both in your realm and his realm. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have to make Christ known. You have to make Jesus famous. And this is not the revival of the end times is not a revival of one man, it's a revival of the whole church. That every member of the church is sent out for the gospel. Amen. What if everybody here took their assignment in Christ seriously? What kinds of results do you think we'll have? Here is the problem. I want to challenge every single one of you here. There are some of you that you are so glad that you found this church because of sound doctrine. But you know that there are several more people like you that have not found doctrine. So why are you so comfortable with people hearing the wrong things as well? Now, I'm talking about also evangelism of helping people that don't know the right, because some people are not saved. and they are going to church. So, why are you so comfortable leaving people in error? Now, here is the thing. I know it takes a while for a person to even know the difference between sound doctrine, but did someone not labor over you? Some of you, the way you behaved to me when I was raising, if I had given up on you, where will you be now? Eh? So you can't give up on others. You can't. You can't also say, I don't have time.
Amen. Will you be a catalyst of the move of God in your generation? Rise to your feet, everybody. Lift your hands to heaven. And say, Father, make me a catalyst of your move in my generation. Say, Lord Jesus, make me a catalyst of the move of God in my generation. Begin to pray right now. Salakambre talaka pareto shetalakai. I'm a mountain in my generation.